Friday of the fourth week of Eastertide. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 26 to 33. When Paul came to Antioch in Pisidia, he said in the synagogue, "My brothers, children of the family of Abraham, and those others among you who are God-fearing, to us this word of salvation has been sent. The inhabitants of Jerusalem and their leaders failed to recognize him, and by condemning him, they fulfill the oracles of the prophets that are read Sabbath after Sabbath. For even though they found no ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him put to death. And when they had accomplished all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. These are now his witnesses before the people. We ourselves are proclaiming this good news to you, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, this day I have begotten you.'" The word of the Lord. Dear family, this is part of a proclamation of St. Paul in a synagogue. Now, try to understand the courage and the audacity of St. Paul to address those people and proclaim to them that what they had been hearing Sabbath after Sabbath from the Word of God had now come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And he quite clearly relates how he was condemned by the authorities and he was hung in a tree. This is significant for them because being hung in the tree for the Jews was a curse. In Deuteronomy, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, anyone hung in a tree is under God's curse. And St. Paul understood that all those people listening that Jesus hung on a tree, meaning was crucified, would think he's a cursed man. So St. Paul addresses the issue right away and teaches them that indeed he took upon himself the curse of all our sin, but God raised them up victoriously from the dead. So there was an injustice done by condemning him, but God vindicated him. This reminds us of Mary's song in Luke 1:52. "He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly." We too, today, are called by the Lord to have the same courage to announce with assurance and with clarity that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all that we have hoped for, that we need to open our hearts and receive him. But we know very well that that is not our way of proceeding nowadays. We think that maybe religion is something private. I believe in Jesus, but I don't have to be talking to people about this because it might become controversial. As a matter of fact, there might be some negative reactions. I might get offended. by those people and insulted or something or rejected. And we want to avoid all that, so we don't evangelize. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit for clarity. When is the right time? But go ahead and proclaim the good news that you have received, because that is a mandate that we have received from the Lord. The gospel is from John 14, verses 1 to 7. Jesus says to his apostles, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Gospel of the Lord. My dear family, the heart of Jesus is profoundly sensitive to what we are experiencing. And so Jesus tells them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He encourages them, "You have faith in God, you trust in God, so trust also in me." Jesus is constantly teaching them that he and the Father are one, that if they trust the Father, they ought to trust him as well. And Jesus actually refers to his destination as my Father's house. I'm returning to my Father's house, but I am going there to prepare for you a dwelling place. The Jewish bridegroom first had to prepare the dwelling place and then take the bride. So the apostles, as true Jews, they understood the nuptial language. "Yes, I'm going, but I will return for you and I will take you to this dwelling place." Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not like we have to do something other to get to Jesus. We have to enter into him personally. Our Catholic faith is a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, for the Jews, the dwelling place, the temple of God, was the temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus had said that he is the temple, his own body, that "You destroy this temple, I will rebuild it in 3 days. And so we are going to enter into him, abide in him. That is what he's telling us. I'm preparing you a dwelling place, which is myself. And I am the way to get there. Enter into me, live the truth, receive my love." So the glorified humanity of Jesus is the point where all humanity comes and dwells with the Father in heaven. This is the place of divine communion and new life. So heaven, more than a place, is a intimate communion with God through Jesus Christ. And this is the place, the work of the Holy Spirit. As the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit, we have this indwelling in us where God is abiding, and we are one with him.